Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. Call 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and we want to hear from you. So call now, 800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It is October 1st. Hard to believe this year is just flying by.
Indeed it is.
And we've moved from identity in Christ, learning that we are children of God, folks who are in Christ, who Christ lives in, members of the body of Christ. And so we're moving into this month to talk about the church, what the church is, how we fit into the church. There's all kinds of questions about the church. We get questions here on here at Basic Gospel all the time about what type of church that a person should attend, how they should perceive church, all of those things. So we want to talk about it this month. And I know, Andrew, this is a big topic, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a pastor out of West Texas, and so, you know, what should church look like? We're asking that question all the time, and we get people from churches all over the place that move to our area and come kick our tires at Church Without Religion. And, you know, I think there's just an importance to coming at this from a New Covenant perspective, Bob. I mean, Basic Gospel comes at everything from a New Covenant perspective. So what does New Covenant church look like? What does it look like to not be an organization, but really just be an organism? What does it look like to be a walking church where, you know, we are really the church? The building is just a building. And so, you know, the body of Christ globally and locally, it's a beautiful thing. But sometimes we can do some very unhealthy things, manipulative things, wrong things in church, and people get the wrong idea.
Well, they sure do. And the first mention of church in the New Testament is found in Matthew, one of my favorite passages. Jesus has assembled his disciples at a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is north of the Sea of Galilee. Just absolutely a beautiful place to visit. But he's asking some questions. You know, what do people say about me? What are they? What's the talk? What's the water cooler talk about me and all the miracles I've done and the teachings that I've taught? And of course there was great buzz, and so the disciples were sharing some of the insights that they had and what they had heard. And then Jesus turns the question upon the disciples and said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And of course Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." So truth is not something that we can discern intellectually. It's not an academic process. It's a spiritual reality that's revealed to us spiritually. And so Jesus goes on and says, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." So Jesus Christ is the builder, the architect of the church, and he builds it upon the confession that we make that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the church is built upon, and that's what the characteristic of the church is. It's a group of people called out from the world who are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and are truly believing in their hearts that God has raised this Jesus from the dead. And so if we will recognize that Jesus is the builder, the architect of the church, and we can jump in and make ourselves available to be used by him, then we can be a part of that process. And boy, that's when it gets exciting.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Calls beginning to come in and light up the board, but still room for you to slide in and be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll free, 800-677-9377.
Well, we're going to talk to our good friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
Hello, pastors. You know, I told Michelle I wanted to talk about Ephesians 4:11, and you know, it's a comforting thing to me, even before I get to that, you know, you've all said, you know, we're going to talk about the church. But I find it more comforting to me as I grow in Christ to talk about the body of Christ versus the church, for the simple fact that when you talk about church to somebody, immediately they're not thinking about the called out ones. They're thinking about the brick and mortar down on the corner or across the county. And so it's comfort to me to know that the church, in many instances throughout the New Testament, is referred to as the church, comma, the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I look at the function of pastors, which you all are in many ways, and I am very blessed to have a multiplicity of pastors versus just one person who is breastfeeding me or whatever. But I grow in Christ because of you, Bob, and Richard, and, of course, Andrew, and now John Lynch. I mean, it's just wonderful to have you all helping me. And what you're doing, according to Ephesians 4:11, and so many people don't even, they look at the first part, yeah, God gave some, you know, apostles and prophets and such, but it says that you, as pastors, and you guys do it so wonderfully because you always, as pastors, as overseers, keep the body of Christ, the believers, on track. And the track is Jesus. And if you look at Ephesians, even the context to that is till we come to the fullness of his stature, till we come to the maturity in Christ. And you all and the ministry of Basic Gospel does such a fantastic job. Church Without Religion does the same thing by keeping our eyes on Jesus. There's no eyes on Bob Christopher or Richard Piper or Andrew Farley or John. It's you keep our eyes and our mindset on Jesus, and I appreciate y'all so much for that because
well,
I am
you.
Equipped. I am being equipped for the work of service. To who? To the body of Christ.
Yeah.
To the relationships that I have in the body of Christ where I help feed and they feed me and you feed me and sometimes I feed you guys.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
yeah.
Brad,
so anyway, thank you so much for being there. It's going to be a wonderful month talking about the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones. And you all talk so much about unity. Ephesians talks about till we come to the unity of the faith. The unity of who? The unity of Jesus, which is the object of our faith. And I appreciate y'all. Love you, and I'll let you go.
Well, thanks, Brad. We sure appreciate that. We certainly do. And it is all about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head. He's the head of the body. You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, ministries and churches when, you know, their leaders go away either through death or some other cause, and we get all frightened that, wow, what's going to happen to that church? What's going to happen to that ministry? Well, we forget that Jesus Christ is the head. No one ever loses their leader. Jesus is always at the helm, and we can trust him, and he can do what he wants to do, and if the body will just line up, you know, under him, I think everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Eugene listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, good afternoon to my fellow co-workers in Christ. How are you, brother, doing today?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. I just had a question kind of about when, you know, I'm in my car now, so I don't have the scriptures, but I know you understand what I'm speaking about. When Moses went to the tent of meetings and God came down to speak to him, and Moses asked God to show me a glory. Now, if we jump over to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and it says that Christ is the image and the glory of God. So essentially, what Moses was asking to see God, he wanted to see him. And what my question is, so this was Christ that did sit face-to-face with Moses, because it says God spoke face-to-face with Moses. And if Christ is the image and the glory of God, and that's what Moses was asking to see, does that mean that Moses did speak with Christ?
Yeah, Eugene, that's an important question. We got a question similar to that last week. You know, the Old Testament appearances of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's interesting because there's some mystery to this. I mean, at one point, we're told that no one has ever seen God. And then Moses says, show me your glory. And obviously Moses gets to see something. So what is it that he sees? Well, you know, many people believe, whether it's the appearance of the angel of the Lord or the appearance of Melchizedek on a lonely road talking to Abraham, or in this case, when Moses is seeing God's glory, that there may have been early appearances of Christ Jesus. I don't think you're off base at all to go to the book of Hebrews and say that Christ is the exact representation of God. And so if Moses saw God's glory, maybe he experienced an early appearance of Christ to some degree. But you know, this whole thing is shrouded in mystery. We know that we'll see him face to face in heaven when we get new resurrection eyes and resurrection bodies. And there's something, you know, that we expect and that we eagerly await in that we don't experience on this side of heaven. So it's an interesting question. And, you know, I certainly believe, as Colossians teaches and other passages teach, that Christ was at the creation of the world, in fact. He was involved in creation. And so this idea that, you know, Christ only ever set foot on planet Earth, or Christ only ever was active after Matthew chapter 1, is just simply not the case. And we got to remember that Jesus is God, and Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature. And when God shows himself, he does show himself through Jesus.
Does that help you, Gene?
Amen. Yeah, it does help. And just to add on to that, when Jesus did say he did see that serpent Satan be cast down, how could he see this if he was not God? He had to see this. So it just adds proof to the Trinity, which I do believe. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Yes, indeed. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go out to the West Coast and talk to Carol, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thank you. I'm sorry, but I've been listening to your stand, your CDs. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome.
But I have a little question, I guess, that I'm stumbling over, and I can't remember where it is. I was going to look it up in my cords, but I couldn't find it. But where it says that we will not, but we will stand before the Lord and be judged. I'm talking about after salvation, that verse, and I can't remember where it is. I'm sure you know, probably, but where he says that we'll be standing before, and we'll be judged for our works.
2 Corinthians 5?
Second Corinthians chapter 5 that speaks about that. Carol, also, 1 Corinthians
is it
chapter.
Or which one?
Well, I think 2 Corinthians 5, I believe the verse is 10.
Correct.
And then 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the fact that we will be judged for our works. It says, day will bring it to light, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Now, this isn't sins. There's no such thing as going to stand before God and him bringing out this video and showing, you know, all of creation, every sin and every evil thought and every evil deed that you've ever done. That judgment took place at the cross. God judged sin harshly, as severely as sin could be judged. And Jesus took the penalty for that. He died in our place. So sin has been taken away. So when we go to stand before him, we're going to see about our works, how Christ worked in and through us. There's lots of things, Carol, that we are going to think that we did for God, when in reality we're going to see that they were just nothing but fleshly motivated. And all of that's just going to burn up. That's not worth anything as far as God's kingdom is concerned. Only those things that are done by faith in the resurrected Christ, who is doing his work in and through us, only those things are really going to count for anything. Why? Because Jesus is...
You mean, so his work through us, not our works, because he said, without me, you can do nothing. And believe me, I believe him.
Absolutely.
No
Absolutely.
Doubt about that. So is that what you mean?
That's exactly...
Him working through us as we yield?
Absolutely. Yeah, because... you know, love is going to be a work as we love others. Well, Jesus Christ is the source of that love. We don't have that apart from him. So if we're going to be in this world being patient with people, being kind to people, pointing them to the person and work of Jesus Christ, that's all going to be sourced by God and by his Spirit. So we can trust in that. So it's his work in and through us. And guys, one of the interesting aspects of these passages that talk about us being judged by our works, Paul's real purpose in talking about that is for us to quit judging one another, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important to highlight, you know, we brought up 2 Corinthians 5:10 here, Bob, and it does say that they'll be recompensed for their deeds, whether good or bad. And I think this verse is often misunderstood. People think it's about Christians being recompensed for their bad deeds. But really the we there is we humans. We humans all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But of course we know what happens there. Some are sheep and some are goats. And so if you're a sheep, well, you're secure and you enter into eternity forever. But if you're a goat, then you're the ones who, you know, get recompensed for your bad deeds. But Christians do not get recompensed for their bad deeds. Bad deeds are called sins, and Jesus died for our sins, and he made the payment in full. And so that's why the next verse says, you know, therefore we persuade men. In other words, we want people to get saved. We want people to fear the Lord, get saved, avoid this judgment, and not be under it. Who wants to be under that judgment? But Jesus is the doorway to freedom.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you, because it was kind of a definite stumbling block, because you know, I mean, I know that I can't do anything that's really right in his eyes, that's for sure.
Yes,
so that is very helpful. Thank you so much for going over it. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Carol. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Well, let's go to New York, and we're going to talk with Lisa listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Doing
fine. All right, here's my question. I live in church in New York City, but I recently went to a conference down south to a very big church, and the church I go to is very big, too. But they had a women's conference, and I went with a friend. And when we came into the sanctuary, which seated about 3,000 people, you know, they had a lot of lights, they had a lot of music, but they were playing a lot of worldly music. This is before the service started, as people were coming in. And it was songs about women, because it was a women's conference. Then they came out and they did an opening thing, like a fun kind of dancing thing that was also to, you know, a Beyonce worldly song. Then they came out and they started their regular worship, which was beautiful, and the people were wonderful, and the service was excellent. And the word was really very excellent word based on the Bible. But then after the service, they had an after party. And when you came out of the sanctuary, you went into a huge fellowship hall where they were serving like little hors d'oeuvres, but they also had a big dance floor, and they were doing the Macarena and all these worldly dances. And this was in the church. And I came away with so many questions, because the people were very kind. They were very loving. They were born-again believers.
Something that made you feel uncomfortable or just weren't used
to? I felt uncomfortable. I felt like, because I'm used to, you know, I came into the presence of the Lord, and it was a very serious message. It wasn't a light message. And to me, it was like you walked out of a solemn moment into this worldly atmosphere as if you were going to a club after the service. And I was in a question and answer meeting, and someone asked the question about the worldly music and this aspect, and they said, well, we do this to make people in the world feel comfortable as they come in, because they cannot identify with maybe worship music, but initially, for them to let their guards down, they are sensing a comfortableness by coming in and hearing music that they know, and they see that we're normal, that we dance, and that we can have fun. And there was nothing, you know, like, it wasn't vulgar music or sensual music, but it was, you know, it was still dancing music. And I was just curious, you know, what your thoughts are about the church and where it's headed. And,
well,
you know,
Lisa,
I was a little disappointed.
Well, we appreciate that question, and that's certainly relevant to our topic today,
yes,
as far as what is what is the church? What is our mission? What is our mandate? How do we live it out as New Covenant believers? And Andrew and Richard and Bob, you know, music and all of these different things. Boy, that's a lightning rod, isn't it?
It is. And Lisa said one thing that really, I think, got the core. The people responded, we want the non-Christians to know that we're just like them. Well, we're not just like them. In all humility, we are the children of God. And that's a different thing than, you know, you can make someone comfortable without being them. And, you know, it is a lightning rod for me because I've done a lot of music in my life and I used to do it wrong. And I know the power of music, especially when you bring the gospel to bear musically. It can be incredibly powerful. And we just don't have time to be wasting it on worldly music. Let the world have their own music.
Yeah. Now, I know, Andrew, this word relevant is a big buzzword today. Yeah. You know, we want to make the gospel relevant. We want to be relevant to the culture at large. And, you know, there's a lot of attempts to do that. I think the gospel message itself is the most relevant message in the world. It doesn't matter what generation, what age. The fact that God loves us, the fact that Jesus Christ took away our sins, the fact that we can have new life in Him, there's no more relevant message to Him. I think we can just give it straight out and let God deal with people. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we don't want to offend and push people away. Andrew, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, it seems like the trend has been to entertain rather than instruct. And so people will watch a series on Jack Bauer at church, or there'll be smoke and a horse on stage and all kinds of theatrical, you know, gymnastics to try to grab people's attention and hold people's attention. But like it or not, people walk away with content or lack of it. And so what we really need to do is not ask how exactly, but really what. And I'm afraid that those who major in the how, they're majoring in entertaining, they're majoring in tantalizing people, they're majoring in trying to be so relevant that when you really look at the substance that they walk away with, the churchgoers walk away with, sometimes it's close to nothing about the gospel, about the cross, about the resurrection. So we give people a nice warm Italian feeling inside, but really they've got no new mindsets and no new truth that God uses to reprogram their mindsets with. So, you know, I mean, I'm in my 40s now. I ministered in my 20s and 30s. I met young people. I met teenagers and 20-somethings. And you're right. The gospel is relevant when it's taught clearly and powerfully. When we see that Jesus Christ has made us loved, accepted. He's made us whole again. He owns us. He wants to be with us 24/7 without interruption. You know, this young generation, they don't want to be duped by religion. They want the real thing. And here at Basic Gospel, that's what we're proclaiming to young and old, the real thing of Jesus with no additives.
Well, Lisa, we sure certainly appreciate your call today, and thanks for bringing such an important question to the broadcast. And we hope you'll continue to listen. If you have further questions about the church as we move forward through this month, please call us again, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
My, I hate to leave this many calls on the board, but hey, guys, call early in the broadcast. Some of you did, and we still didn't get to you, but keep listening, and we will get to your question as soon as we possibly can. Hey, there's an excellent new product we've been talking about recently. It's called Stand Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. In 6 sessions, it addresses the need every Christian faces at one time or another, and that is how to walk by faith and how to apply that faith to everyday life. This series also contains a bonus roundtable discussion and a question-answer session. These messages by Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch will connect you to the life and love of Jesus Christ and show you how to stand firm through the trials of life. It's available in DVD, CD, or MP3 formats. And to place your order, you can do that today by calling our order line, 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828. Or by going online to stand2014.com. Again, that's stand2014.com for Stand Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.